to him that loved us, and washed us from our sins, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and hath set us in his family order, that he might rule and reign through us in the earth. Brought forth through people of flesh and blood in their body and in their lives, Jesus Christ might live the corruption of the world, of the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and now having his love living in us. Our life is now given for service to others. And corrupt them not with our fleshly ways, in simple obedience to his knowledge of truth, we by faith live the life of Christ in our daily lives. for the good of others, not under the law, but as vessels of grace.
It sets up strength in our life. Paul called it girding up our loins, to where we cannot be enticed and led back under the bondage of Satan, under the law. Many people move into the spirit of grace and love, but because of lack of knowledge, through the weakness of their flesh, Satan begins to build in them again their old way, whispering to them that they are doing good. Now Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law in a life of love and grace. But he came to destroy the effect of the law upon you by destroying your flesh. For the law was good. It was spiritual, Paul said. It was given to bring life. But through the weakness of the flesh of people, Satan took the law and perverted it and made a bondage out of it. And then we in turn get trapped into taking something that was good, the law of God, and living back under it because we don't have a knowledge of the law of grace, and we trap ourselves and trap others. That's the reason why the worship of God is in spirit and in truth. That's the reason we have to receive knowledge of the workings of grace and then simply obey them in simple childlike faith. He that obeys my commandments obeys my words, my Father and I will come and make our abode with him. We live continually. He said, my commandments are not grievous, because his commandments does not depend upon your strength as the law does, but it depends upon your actions of faith, confessions of faith that forms his life in you as you get knowledge of that grace.
Christ came not, to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Carnal mind of man, that corrupted the law into serving Satan. The law of God that Satan uses. condemn you.
To condemn you.
Into obeying the law.
Into obeying the law.
And makes you.
And makes you.
Fall from God's grace. Satan applies the law.
Satan applies the law.
To any social custom.
To any social custom.
And tells you he's God.
Tells you he's God.
To condemn you.
To condemn you.
And cause you to try.
To live the life of God
by serving the desires
of your own and others' flesh.
Then when you're trapped in knowledge of good and evil.
In knowledge of good and evil.
He leads you.
He leads you.
Into condemning others.
Into condemning others.
And knowing them.
And knowing them.
After their flesh.
Doing good things
to set their life in Satan's order.
Contradict the law of God. For example, and I want you to get ready for a shock and begin to walk in fear, because I've been holding you husbands and wives several years by the strength of the Spirit, and I'm fixing to turn you loose. Whoa. You'll understand. Now the command of Jesus Christ is this. Very plain and very simple. When you get ready to enter into grace, the law says that you must hold on to your wife and your husband and take care of your children, your family, your mothers and your fathers, doesn't it? Doesn't the law say that? And take care of your own goods, watch after them because they are heritage of the Lord. But under grace, Jesus said something. He said, you forsake and hate your wives, mother, father, your sisters and brothers, family, cattle, houses, and lands, and even your own life. I didn't coin that phrase. He said it. And he said, I didn't come to patch up lives under the law, But he said, I came to bring a sword. To bring division. To separate mothers and fathers, wives and husbands, to just tie up households. That are living under the law. Now, I didn't say that. He said it. Is there any other interpretation can you put to that? Being aware of this for many years, that before you could enter into grace as a husband and wife, you must forsake each other as a husband and wife under law. I mean literally. And come as two agreeing together and accept the grace of God. But you not being able to do this, it has become my responsibility, and listen to me closely. For many years, without you realizing it, husbands, I have been the spiritual husband to your wives. You didn't know that. You do now. And wives, I have been the spiritual wives to your husbands. Not doing it every time perfectly, but when I would see by the Spirit a family getting out of order and slipping back from the first principle of grace, back under the law where judgment and destruction was coming, the Lord gave me several little things that would keep them moving and hold them till this time of revealing of grace. In your wives' lives, when I would see you moving back, I'd say, how are you getting along today, Brother Dot Scott? Oh, the head of the Scott family. Now, had I not used that little suggestion of grace, had I been led of the Lord to say, get in order or else he would have destroyed your family, of which I've had to do several times. Haven't I, Brother Ron? But moving among you as a hidden person, keeping you and holding you until you could come to this place, knowing this, that if either one of you rejected the grace of God, then God would separate you and cast you asunder. That fiery sword of grace would cut you off, the disobedient from the obedient, because under grace he has pledged that he will salvage the obedient. He will not let the disobedient mate of a family, wife, husband, children, drag down the obedient. Hadn't. Thank you. Jesus lets you know very plainly that you have no obligation to try to serve for the disobedient people of the world, that all traditional and family connections are severed. So having to be a father, having to be a husband and a wife to you, I would move the best I could, as given me by the Lord, to keep you moving in order. Moving in such a way to keep you, to move with wisdom of the Lord, to keep you from openly rebelling to where he'd have to cut you off. Yet in all of this, Brother Ron Noble, I lost some. Yet not I, but God that severs the disobedient from the obedient. By saying to things like Tarina Cooper, how's your wife, Clyde, getting along today? Or something like that, you remember? Or maybe find the husband, maybe find the wife being led and enticed by Satan in some way, making such statements as, well, you know, the scripture says the wife is the head of the husband and the husband ought to be submissive. Or maybe finding the husband, once a wife begins to submit under grace, still trying to live under the law of harshness. You know, if a husband is living under law, and a wife begins to make her submission under grace, the devil through that husband takes that and says, boy, I got her now. I'll just rule her, and I'll drive her down to the ground. Finding some of you doing that, maybe admonishing you, the scriptures, how that said, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, not as law, but as grace, and many other things. To let you know real plainly that if the grace of God had been applied to you years ago, I dare say they wouldn't be two couples standing here. Ooh. Ooh. And the thing that brings the separation, listen to it good. We're going to talk mostly about the women this morning, because we want to get knowledge of the working of Satan and the knowledge of the right way to do things in obedience to Christ. The sly voice of Satan working in a wife, using the things of the world, not bad things as the world looks at them, but wanting to be thought well of in the eyes of the other women, begins to listen to a little voice of Satan that's called an independent spirit that always says he's God. And says it would be good, it would feel good if you had some kind of life of your own. If you could own a, have something in your name, own a car, I'm not going to point you out, or if you could own a, something in your name, well, you'd be like the other people, you'd be independent. You know, this is the age of freedom for women. Trapping you in the bondage. Because the only freedom for women is through Christ. Ooh. And men taking that little independent spirit and working through you and making you own the children apart from the husband. Becoming a protector of them. You're going to, oh, you're just going to do for the children. You're going to shut the husband off. And you own the children. And pretty soon the children are as bad or worse than you. Ooh. An independent spirit. That makes you want to do something apart from the order of God. Now that same independent demon, sly voice of the snake, is the one that cut Eve off from Adam and caused them both to fall. And be shut out of the Garden of Eden, paradise of God, and the fiery sword barred them from getting back in. That little voice that says, now you are an individual, woman, and you need to learn knowledge of good and evil apart from your husband. And it sounds so good. You are not an individual. Neither is your husband an individual. You have lost your life in Christ that you might gain the individuality of the grace of the living God. And that's the only way you can have it. As he brings you into his order and grace, he fills both of you with the fullness of Christ, the fullness of your Father, and then he sets you out, two individuals, joined together, yet one in the spirit of grace. And that's the only way you can bring it about. You cannot bring it about by Satan. But it sounds real good. And it leads you, wives. We're talking, I want you to consider it real good. And to act in independence. I'll smite Brother Ron even though he's not a wife. You will obey your husband under the law as long as you feel like it. When he's out of sight, you'll do as you darn well please, thinking you're doing service to God. Your husband being blind in time past, not being able to see that, I was looking at you. Wasn't I looking at you? You knew I was looking at you. You knew I was looking at you. You was hoping you was here, but that's all it was a hope. You knew you weren't. Didn't you know you weren't here, Rena? Then, once you yield to that independent spirit of having a life apart from your husband and discussing the spiritual things or anything with your husband, many other things begin to come in your life. I want you to listen closely to this. You begin to give advice to others, feeling good all the time. As a wife, you begin to give advice to others. Prompted by workings of the flesh. For example, and everyone listen to this now, real closely. Real closely. The workings of Satan in a woman, in a wife. Many times without them realizing it, sees every single girl that comes in the kingdom as a threat to their husband. Might as well be just as vulgar about it as I can. That's exactly the way they see it. Don't. So, immediately, Satan gives them a way out. Says you can start carrying on flesh with them and pointing out good boys and good mates for them. And you can marry them off and you can get rid of them. An evil working of Satan that ruins lives. But the correct way, wives, for you to deal with any woman is laid out in the doctrines of grace of Paul. The only way, the only marriage that God sanctions is when you're married in the law. And the command is, if you're unmarried, don't seek a husband. If you're unmarried, don't seek a wife. Leave it alone. Let it lie. Let God join you together with whomever he has picked for you. And then you're in safety. Ooh. And the command is very plain. Mothers, women, being sober, pointing the younger women unto Christ. Not seeking to corrupt them or give them advice of good and evil in your own way, but leading them unto the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is that no one, let me repeat, no one, no one can be married except in the Lord. And this is the reason why, that when you were married, even though you were married under the law, I reached out by the Spirit and got you and helped you as much under grace as I could, saying, now, Father, I take the responsibility for these two. I present them before the Lord. I know they're in a terrible mess, but I take them up on my shoulder. I'll hold them. And I'll suffer for it, if need be. And I did. But now it has come time for me to turn you loose. And let you begin to look to yourself. To begin to work out your relationship with one another, which you've already begun, and begin to work out your relationship to the younger people, ministering only to them the things of Christ. Because it is about time that I quit being a wife and a husband. That's what the Lord said. And I hope it scares you to death. Did it make you fear? Now, God will not tolerate you, wives, or tolerate you, husbands, either. I have to throw that in when he speaks it, even though we're talking to the wives. He will not tolerate you to corrupt but about one life after now. Because his law says, when you take a life, I'm going to take yours. And that law applies under grace the same way as it does under law. He says, now you go. He said, I just want to tell you, you go and pick up one of these young women and you begin to give them advice after your flesh and you take their life and get them out of my order and cause them to fall under judgment. He said, I'm going to get them, but said, I'm going to get yours. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He said, you're gone. Ooh, you don't believe it that way. It hath been spoken, and that's the way it is. You take a life under grace, and you lose your life under grace. His law doesn't change under grace. You take the spiritual life away from a boy or a girl, through your knowledge of good and evil, you serving Satan, he's going to take yours. I guarantee it. Ooh. While we're on the subject, some of you fathers, some of you older fathers that enter into fleshly discussion, the younger men, such thing, and boy, she sure is pretty. I wish I was 20 years younger. You obligate that poor fella right then. Go to hunting him a wife. Get him out of the order of God. Put him in the lust of the flesh. And then your life is required of you. Or maybe you see a boy, your child, or another boy being drawn to a girl, drawn together in companionship, and you begin to say, how's your girlfriend get? Uh-oh. That right away. Put your endorsement upon the relationship, and that's all they need to turn them loose. But the instructions are very plain. Son, daughter, may I talk to you? Let's come to Jesus. Let's say, Lord Jesus. And advise them in soberness that it is not given unto man and woman to match make. It is only given unto God. He takes that away from man and woman. And the only thing I can tell you, the only kind of marriage or relationship that will ever be endorsed by God is the one that He brings together. Quoting the Apostle Paul, Christ speaking in him, let them be married only in the Lord. The commandments of grace,
commandments of grace,
though they are easy,
though they are easy,
they always point
others
Mothers to cry.
Brothers to cry.
They never try to lead
they
him.
Never try to lead
in a good and evil way.
In good and evil way.
They always point him. To the Father God.
To the Father God.
Ah.
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 In very simple language, God had made this provision. Under law in the life of Adam and Eve, when one, the husband or the wife, would sin or be led by Satan into the knowledge of good and evil, he was obligated under that law that they were tied together, so he had to leave it alone to see if the other mate could entice the other one into sinning, then he would have both of them. But on the grace, he says this. If either one of the mates or any part of the family are led by Satan outside of the garden, so to speak, he says, I cut that individual off, throw them away to preserve the others. Because I'm not obligated on the law anymore. And said, I will not sacrifice an obedient-hearted person to another disobedient-hearted person. So once a wife or a husband makes that step, he said, I'll just cut whoever makes that step off and throw them away. Ooh. You don't believe what I'm saying? You're dealing with the grace of the Father God now. And you're dealing with a fiery sword of grace that has already fulfilled the law that says that each person must bear their own sins. So wives, you can't throw them off on the husband. Husband, you can't throw them off on the wife. I'm getting very unpopular here. Y'all not rejoicing, are you? You mean I spent all that years, spent all those years being a husband to you, and you're not rejoicing over this, Dot? Shame on you. Joe, you mean I spent all those years being a wife to you? And you're not rejoicing over it? Oh, you want to do something? Let her go. Oh. You will have to do others this way. But since grace has been revealed in the order of God through grace, you will not have to hold them. You can, through the advice, just give them, set them right in order. Straighten their life out. Okay? Ooh. But remember this. While you're going through this adjustment of grace in your life, wives, remember this. Anything, any boys that tries to get you to act independent of your mate is the voice of Satan. And anything that appeals to your pride to want to have something apart from jointly with your mate or through your mate is the voice of Satan. And anything that will make you try to change your husband into doing what you want to do. Here's the voice of Satan. You'll remember this. Those little three things that keeps you from that old independent spirit. You'll make the changeover quickly. He'll make you both individuals, which he wants to do in Christ. You can be 1,000 miles apart and still be together. But if you don't do that, you're going to be continually tormented all the time. Believe me, once you lose your identity in Christ and your husband, and once the husband loses his identity in Christ and the wife, boy, he's ready to move. But it takes that. That's the only way he can separate you to the law, from the law. It's the only way he can break the hold of Satan on your life. To just absolutely make you lose yourself in each other. The wife first. Then when he does that, he can bring you forth in grace quickly, just like that. But he never can bring you forth in grace as long as Satan has some little hold of the law on you. Some little independent spirit, you want to be well thought of in the eyes of other women, well thought of in the eyes of anyone. Except your husband. That's called the pride of life, and it destroys you. And it is of Satan. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, I want to be sort of prideful in my existence. No way. Never enter into the glorious life of Christ with the pride of life. You gain his life by losing yours. It's that simple. Losing everything you have. Just turning loose, and let's use that old word, whatever. But that destroys all of my initiative and all. That's right. Destroys all of my having something for myself. That's right. Well, that makes me become just like a child. That's right. Well, that won't leave me any strength of character at all. That's right. Because you lose all these things to gain his. Why, that will make me, if I do that, that'll make me a, I know what'll happen to me. If I do that, boy, my husband will just walk all over me. That's what he's done in times past. You better believe he won't this time. You better believe he won't. Willie Bob said. He won't, because the same fire sword of grace that works against you, wives, also works against your husband. If he fails to love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and he enters into no condemning law attitude towards you, you can just bet you better start weeping for him, because that fire sword of grace will start on him just the moment that he makes that action. One, are you listening real good? You're enjoying it too, aren't you? Is that the way you want it, or you want to do it the other way? You want to run back home to mama real quick? You want to let Satan tell you now you better preserve your life, you better go back to mama and hold on to your life? You don't want to do that anymore. All right. Ooh. Well, you know old Wayne's going to mess up, don't you? Oh, yeah, he's going to mess up. He's done it a thousand times in time past. He's going to mess up, isn't he? No matter if he messes up 10,000 times, you're not supposed to listen to that voice of Satan. Because the very moment you go to listening to Satan, he tells you Wayne's going to mess up, you know what happens? You begin to help him mess up, called in unbelief. Oh, that's right. In unbelief, you begin to pester him, don't you? Growl at him. Pout at him. And the first thing you know, he said, oh, what the heck, here I go. Better they believe I'm going to mess up anyhow, so I'm just going to mess up. Is this correct? Is this the way you've been led? But your wife wasn't the cause of it. She just helped you, didn't she? If you'll move into this, and I want you to get this tape this morning, especially Donna, well, all of you, but Donna, you and Oka, get it. Get you all of your husband and wife, get it. And not only get you a copy of the tape, put it on a scratch tape, but write it out, will you? And study it, because you'll be able to salvage a lot of people. If you'll let the Lord just work out in you an understanding of this thing, not only will you be able to salvage yourself, but you'll be able to deliver others, women and men, that the fire sword of grace will cut off if they get back under the law, or if they fail to let the law be purged out of them by the love and the grace of God. Because he's not playing now. He's not playing at all. And the time of you having to be held by me is over. When he started this, he said, begin to turn them loose. So I did. Now I have to obey him. So I can't hold you anymore. You did realize I was holding you. You wouldn't have had a chance. I tell you plainly, you wouldn't live together a month after the grace of God was revealed to you. You don't believe that, but you wouldn't have. You couldn't have stood before that fire sword of God. No way. Once you made an act towards Satan, if someone hadn't been holding you, he'd have given you over to him. And here you'd have went. Now it's time to move on into the grace of God and knowledge and get to where you can help others. Will you do this? Ooh, let's sing that song over one more time.
Unto him that loved
us,
and washed us from our sins, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and hath set us in his family order, that he might rule and reign through us in the earth. Our Father's kingdom is Jesus Christ might live in grace and love, having escaped the corruption of the world, of the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and now having his love living in us, and our life now is given for service to others through knowledge of his word of truth. We now learn how to live his life and deliver others into his life of grace, and corrupt them not with our fleshly ways. Knowledge of truth, we by faith live the life of Christ in our daily lives for the good of others. Not under the law, but as vessels of grace. To destroy the law, but to fulfill the law in a life of love and grace, and to destroy your flesh and carnal mind of man that corrupted the law into serving Satan. The strength of sin is the law of God that Satan uses through the weakness of flesh to condemn you into obeying the law and make you fall from God's grace. Satan applies the law to any social custom and tells you he's God to condemn you and cause you to try to live the life of God. A desire of your own and others' flesh. Then when you're trapped in knowledge of good and evil, he leads you into condemning others and knowing them after their flesh, doing good things to set their life in Satan's order.